This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky.
Let's go. Let's rock. Let's roll.
Today we're talking about your article titled Post-Stroger Politics, which appeared in the Chicago Reader on October 21st, 2010. And you talk about the race for Cook County Board President and the sort of legacy left behind by Todd Stroger, and also talking about those who would take his place. And the first thing I wanted to get into, Ben, is Cook County government itself. I think that Chicagoans might not realize what parts of county government affect them. I made a list here, and I'm looking at it, and I'm wondering what would be on your list as far as agencies or functions of county government that the typical Chicagoan might encounter?
Well, if you're arrested, you're going to encounter the criminal justice. If you're incarcerated, you'll encounter the jail. If you fight with your business partner and sue him or her for fraud, you'll encounter the court system.
Well, even if you're incarcerated, you'll encounter the court system, too.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about now a civil case. So people think, oh, well, it's just a criminal case. Well, no, a civil case encounter. And, of course, the county oversees our whole property tax system. God bless them. They're the ones who determine what your property is worth.
So anyone who owns or rents in Chicago, their taxes for living wherever they live are being collected by the county.
Well, yeah, not just collected by the county, but I'm talking also, again, the assessor's office determines the value of your property. So the county has a hand in determining how much you pay in property taxes by calculation of your property's worth.
When you get your bill, it comes from the county treasurer.
County treasurer, that's what I'm saying. And then when you deed and business deals and all sorts of transactions, they're recorded with the county quarter of deeds. If you want legal documents, the clerk of the circuit court, if you want official documents like birth certificates, etc., wedding licenses, you go to your dear friend David Orr's office. He's the county clerk. Let's see what else am I forget. How could I forget the state's attorney, the prosecutor?
If you're lucky, you won't encounter the state's attorney.
You will not. So just off the top of my head, if you're sick and you can't afford to pay for medical coverage, or if you have no medical coverage, there's the Cook County Hospital System, which is for the poor.
It's free. Well, you've already paid for it with your taxes.
Yes, you've already paid.
And when you eventually die, people who are going to certify your death is Cook County Medical Examiner's Office.
There you go.
And if you want to go hang out in the park outside of Chicago, you might be hanging out in the Forest Preserve District, which is also run by the
Preserve. How could I forget our friends, the Forest Preserve? That's where you used to go to smoke pot.
Excuse me?
And listen to records.
Speak for yourself.
No, that's not true. David never did that. Anyway, that's... What else are we...
The zoo?
The zoo?
Brookfield Zoo is run by the county, as is the Botanic Gardens.
Okay, which I actually never been to. Please don't hold that against me.
Well, that's in the suburbs.
So what else is there?
I think that's enough. So that demonstrates why people may want to be interested in the county board president's race, because there are actually quite a few parts of county government that touch Chicagoans.
It's important to understand, and this is, I kind of alluded to this in the article, that the county board president, whose stature rose tremendously during the Stroger years, the Todd Stroger years, and to a degree during the John Stroger years, the county board president does not have direct control over all these operations. That in fact, most of these operations that we alluded to are controlled by elected officials who are put in office, of course, by the public. So the county board president and the county board, they will approve the overall budget. So in that degree, they have some control. But even there, their power is limited because these elected officials, you know, have their own bully pulpits, and they have their own access to the media, and they have their own access to individual commissioners. So
let me ask you about that. That's something that you touch on in the article. You quote former Cook County Board Commissioner Mike Quigley, now Congressman Mike Quigley. He provided an insight into how patronage hiring works at the county. He talked about some of these separately elected leaders of county agencies who you just mentioned, like the state's attorney or the sheriff. They might ask commissioners, county board commissioners, for favorable board votes or less scrutiny on their budgets in exchange for jobs or, you know, people to whom the commissioners owe favors. Do you think this scheme has resulted in more or less or the same degree of patronage hiring than in city government?
I don't know about more or less. I truly don't, because there's just no way to quantify that. But I will say this, that kind of, I'll help you if you help me, deal making is so characteristic of Chicago government in general, Cook County. I always think of a county as sort of an extension of Chicago government, even though, of course, it's broader than the county. It's so pervasive. Of course, it's in the state as well, and it crosses over from one party to the other. Every now and then, I know you know this, Dave, but there'll be like articles in the newspaper about a list that's uncovered. And it turns out some aide to the mayor or an aide to Governor Blagojevich or an aide to some county official has been keeping track of whose job is owed to whom. And, you know, you probably remember the Zorich list.
The clout list.
The clout list, yeah. So, you know, this person's job was a favor to such and such a state senator or such and such a committeeman. So I think this is a very common practice throughout Chicago, the state of Illinois, and county government. The point that Quigley was making with it was not that he opposes it, although I guess he probably does. It's just that it makes it that much more difficult for somebody to cut jobs in the government. And he was using that as an example to show how someone like the Green Party candidate, Tom Tresser, who is advocating just an across-the-board 10% cut, may not realize how difficult this is because there's so many allegiances. And so when all those favors are called in, the county board, there's actually, 17 of them, may not vote with the president to cut the budget. So it's a complicated political chess game the county is in terms of cutting jobs.
Do you know who your board commissioner is?
Who my county board commissioner?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm in a transition. My incumbent board commissioner is the distinguished Forrest Claypool, and I presume, although the election hasn't happened yet, that he'll be replaced by John Fritchie.
I asked that question because I challenge our listeners to consider who their county board commissioner is, because this bears directly on the ability of a board president, I think, to make changes. If board commissioners don't hear from their constituents as to what they want, then, you know, they're kind of autonomous.
Funny you should say that. I remember when I first wrote a story about the county board, and I was doing a profile of candidates running. And this is in 1986. And
wait a minute. If I was in high school, so were you.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that we're the same age. You just look so much more younger than me. But anyway, I was astounded how open the candidates were when, you know, they talked about getting the job. Nice pay. You get higher staff. You get pension benefits and health benefits, and nobody knows who you are. That's the point you were making. You know, like an alderman gets phone calls about every little this or that, but, you know, a county commissioner, really nobody knows who you are. And that changed, and I think Quigley deserves credit or blame, depending on your worldview. When Quigley got elected, he used it as his bully pulpit to criticize what he considered waste or inefficiency or stupid policies, and he was eventually joined on that board by Forrest Claypool and Larry Suffernan from up in Evanston, and they had their little Northside reformers group that was always fighting Stroger. And as I'm saying, they elevated through their efforts and their contacts with the media and their mailings to their constituents, they elevated the prominence of not just the board, but Stroger, first John and then Todd, mainly Todd I'm talking about. And they turned Todd Stroger into a force greater than he actually was. So he became a very useful and effective scapegoat for people to unleash their frustrations with wasted, bloated, inefficient government. And this has always been one of my favorite themes, as you know, that by concentrating all the fury and aiming it at Todd Stroger, folks were avoiding the real fight, which was, in the local scene anyway, with Mayor Daley, who's the boss of it all. And maybe in the state scene with Michael Madigan. So the county board president, much of the authority over the county is divided among those elected officials.
Our listeners will have an opportunity to vote for many of these people even today. Let's not forget that early voting has already started, and our listeners can go to chicagoelections.com to find the location of early voting places, and you do have to have a photo ID for that particular kind of voting.
I did not know that. But, you know, for next week's story, I'm writing my picks, who I am choosing.
Okay, teaser.
Yeah, it's a teaser. You know me now that I really belabor these things. It's so hard for me to make a decision and sort of a parody of myself. So I'll ask you next week who you voted for, and I'll share my votes with you.
All right, listeners, tune in next week for Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader giving his voting recommendations. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of the story with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for other interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.